This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Joining me on Stockbox today is Neil Mahapatra, the co-founder and executive chairman of Oxford Cannabinoid Technologies. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Mark, thank you very much for having me on. I'm very, very well. Thank you.
Good. It's good to have you on. So we're going to be talking about you and the company today. You listed only on Friday, on the 21st of May, and you are a medicinal cannabis company working to develop prescription cannabis drugs targeting the £42 billion pain market. And the ticker on the London Stock Exchange is OCTP. So I wonder, Neil, if you can start us off by giving us a high-level overview of the company and what it is that you're all about.
Of course. Well, we are a cannabis company that, as you say, listed on the LSE main market a few days ago. And I think where we differ from many other cannabis companies is that we focus on the development of licensed medicines. There were two business models that we could have utilized when we first established OCT. And the first was the unlicensed medicines business model. And that's the vast majority of medical cannabis firms. And the second is the licensed medicines business model, the otherwise known as prescription medicine, the type of medicines that you'll pick up from a pharmacy once you receive a prescription from your doctor. We feel that the unlicensed medicines business model has a range of issues associated with it. For example, there's a lack of standardization with regards to dosage. That no one batch of medical cannabis, for example, will have the same profile of cannabinoids in, the same concentration of cannabinoids in. There's also a lack of standardization with regards to quality. No one batch is ever really the same. And for those reasons, the unlicensed medicines route, we feel, really struggles to get the confidence of the medical community behind it. And certainly in the UK, that means the NHS won't fund it. And really, the medical community, who are quite a conservative bunch in general, are very reluctant to prescribe in volume. The licensed medicines route is very different. And that's the route that we've chosen. But to be absolutely clear, we are very much a medical cannabis firm working with the cannabinoids all derived from the medical cannabis, all derived from the cannabis plant. But where we differ from others is that we use these existing channels of pharmaceutical development. So that by that, I mean phase one, phase two, and phase three trials, the type of routes that pharmaceutical firms have been using for decades and have been around for many decades. And we feel that by taking cannabis and cannabinoids through those existing developmental routes, that it's only then do you get the confidence of the medical community behind you. It's only then can doctors then prescribe with any real certainty that something is going to work, having gone through phase one, phase two, and phase three trials. And so that's why we're different from many of the other cannabis firms that will be on the market shortly or already on the market. And it's a key point for us, I think. And the other reasons why we feel we're different are a very high quality team, our relationship with top tier academic research partners. But I'm sure we can go into that in due course.
Okay. It's interesting, this model, the two different models you talk about there. And I wonder if I can just ask you about the competitors in the space. And do you feel that taking the pharmaceutical approach rather than the medicinal cannabis approach really gives you that sort of standout status?
We do, really, and because there aren't really that many other companies doing what we do, and certainly none listed in London. So there's one company called Corbus Pharmaceuticals, which is now worth about $200 or nearly $300 million. That has also taken the prescription medicines route. But the big company that we feel and view ourselves as the successor to is GW Pharmaceuticals, which I'm sure you know was bought a few months ago for over $7 billion by a pharmaceutical firm. And with the exception of those two, I don't think there's any other company that does what we do. The interesting thing is, I think by going through those routes of pharmaceutical development, that's how you make yourself attractive for a pharmaceutical company to buy you. Mm-hmm. Put another way, Jazz Pharma, which bought GW for over $7 billion, they would probably have struggled to buy an unlicensed medicine company, a standard medical cannabis company, because there's no generation of IP. You can't make regulatory claims to treat any particular condition. And for those reasons, I think this is really the route to take. The power of the medical cannabis of cannabis and the plant and its therapeutic potential across a wide range of indications is vast. But it really needs to be harnessed and channeled in the right direction. And by that I mean using these channels which the medical community knows well and accepts. But to answer your point more specifically, Mark, there aren't, with the exception of GW and Corbus, there's no other company doing what we do.
Okay. And do you feel that going down these channels is still, it won't present challenges, do you think, in terms of like hurdles to jump through, hoops to jump through? Do you still feel it's the best model to take?
I do feel that it's the best model to take. I think any business model that you take has different types of challenges. With medical cannabis, there's the unlicensed medicines route, there's challenges associated with, you know, dosage and standardization and quality. Whilst, you know, with the pharma route, the challenges are, for example, getting the right number of people so that your trial is viewed as a proper phase one or phase two clinical trial. And those are the types of challenges that we have going forward. But if you make it through those trials, the value that you create at the other side is prodigious. Okay. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Well, let's look at the market then that you're targeting. So the pain market doesn't sound very pleasant, but what is the problem then that the company is trying to solve and the market size?
So the market is really large. It's over £40 billion. That's the total pain markets. But the backdrop and the problem that we're trying to solve is really driven by opioids. So at the moment, the only really viable treatments for pain and the vast majority of very visceral and chronic pain indications are opioids. So opioids have a huge number of problems associated with them, but probably the most widely known issue is that of dose escalation. You need an increasingly stronger dose of opioids in order for them to work. You build up tolerance and resistance to it, and over time, that really means the risk of overdosing through opioids is very, very high. That's what's led to the opioid crisis that we see globally. There are over 60,000 deaths from opioids in the US alone last year, and that's really through overdose. Whilst cannabis doesn't have that problem, we know that cannabis doesn't kill you if you overdose. Bluntly, you just go to sleep, but you don't die. And so the ability and the opportunity for us is to use cannabis to create cannabinoid-based medications that address pain and replace opioids, and it will do that in a safer way and hopefully a more effective way. We think our lead molecule, which we've snappily titled 46-1201, has real potential to be a blockbuster pain drug. But because it's working with the endocannabinoid system and is really unlikely to cause harm, and so that's the opportunity: creating medication that can replace these very dangerous opioids in a $40 billion plus pain market.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the business model then for a moment. You say in the presentation that I saw that you own a proprietary library of 93 cannabinoid derivatives. You're taking an outsourced model of research, and also you have this pipeline, this proven pharmaceutical model for best practice to reduce the time and the value inflection. So I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about the different elements you're applying to your business model.
Of course. The cannabinoid derivatives, to start there, are really important for us. And I think another differentiator for us. We have taken and extracted cannabinoids, both major and minor, from cannabis and hemp. And what we've done is changed their structure slightly using medicinal chemistry. And the reason we've done that is, well, there's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is you can make them more effective by changing their structure. You can get them to cross cell membranes more easily. You can get cannabinoids to be absorbed into different tissues more effectively. But the other reason, arguably the more important reason, is that by changing the structure of a cannabinoid, you can then patent it. If something is a natural product and you're working with a structure that is unaltered versus the structure which you find it in nature, you can't put IP around it. Mm-hmm. You can't put a patent around it, and you can't protect it in all of the normal ways that you would protect a pharmaceutical compound. But by changing the structure, even just slightly, you can therefore put a composition of matter patent around it. By creating this library of cannabinoid-based derivatives, we've created this bedrock of future drug compounds that if they show resonance with our academic partners when we test them, we can very, very quickly put intellectual property around them. And that's a really important point for why we've created this library of cannabinoid derivatives. In terms of aspects, Mark, that you referred to. So we do we operate in a decentralized model of drug development, a virtual model of drug development, mm-hmm. as it will. And what I like referring to that as the hub and spoke model of drug development, where we OCT are the hub, and then the spokes are our commercial and academic research partners that we work with to test our cannabinoids. For example, at Oxford University, mm-hmm. we spent nearly 1.5 years developing our relationship with Oxford before we signed up to a research agreement with them. And it took a serious amount of time. And they are our lead academic partner, completing studies on a wide range of pain-related studies. And our relationship with them, where we own all of the IP that's produced, but fund them to do research for us, I think is really symbolizes and epitomizes what we mean when we say the hub and spoke model, the virtual model, the decentralized model of drug development. And that's another very important characteristic of how we operate. It allows us to keep our costs low for the time being, which for a currently relatively small company, I think our market cap is just under £50 million. It allows us to keep costs low. But over time, as we take our drug candidates further through development and phase one, phase two, phase three clinical trials, we will, of course, develop more internal fixed cost.
Okay. Well, thank you. That explains the business model and the strategy pretty well. So I wonder if we can just briefly touch on the team that you've put together.
Of course. So the team is led by Dr. John Lucas. He is our CEO. He is a seasoned pharmaceutical exec with over 2 decades pharma and drug development experience across a range of pharmaceutical firms, from Sizzle Biotech to Genset and other firms. And he's an incredibly capable individual. He's also a trained lawyer, which I think is very rare to have in the CEO position for a pharmaceutical business. But when you're a medical cannabis business such as ours, having that awareness of the legal framework in which you're operating, we think is really, really helpful. So he's the CEO of our business. He's accompanied by some incredibly capable individuals. Clarissa Suimimo Coca is our COO and general counsel. She works with John on company strategy, but focuses a lot on internal management. And as our general counsel, is also responsible for ensuring that our home office licenses, and because we work with the cannabis plants, ensuring our home office licenses are kept up to date and renewed every year as they mm-hmm. need to be. Okay. Karen Lowe is our very experienced finance director. She has over 20 years in audit and risk management, and we're incredibly lucky to have her as our FD. She's a trained accountant at Mazars. And Dr. Valentino Paravicini is our superstar chief scientist, has over 20 years experience in scientific research, including over a decade in large cap pharma, nearly 8 years of which was at Glaxo. And so that formed, those four individuals formed the senior team. And we think they're incredibly experienced, incredibly capable. But they're also the team which I think is going to be in place, not just for the next couple of years, but for the next 10 years, as we look to emulate GW Pharmaceuticals, both in terms of their achievements and also, I hope, their valuation.
Okay, excellent, good. Well, let's just finish then, Neil, on the investment opportunity. You've raised £16.5 million on listing, a substantial amount of money. What are the plans and what's the roadmap look like?
The use of proceeds for the IPO raise is to develop our four drug programs further and take them all much further in development, and to take our two lead drug programs into the clinic, into phase one clinical trials, through to the end of phase one clinical trials. And over time, as we do that, we will hit several milestones, both as we take our drug programs through the clinic, and also the later drug programs, our third and our fourth one, through the discovery stage and through into advanced preclinical development. So that's the use of proceeds for the IPO. And and I think the value opportunity is very significant. So if you look at what the leading light in the space, GW Pharmaceuticals, has managed to achieve through their valuation, again, they were bought for over $7 billion by Jazz Pharma. That shows what can be achieved by working with cannabis through these existing channels of pharmaceutical development. And I very much think and hope that we will be emulating them in some way. We're not competing with them. They focus on neurological conditions and other indications within healthcare. Well, we're very, very focused on pain. But I think the opportunity for investors with us is to join us on that journey as we look to reach those heady heights of achievement and valuation by working with cannabis through these existing channels of pharma development.
Okay. Well, Neil Mahapatra, the co-founder and executive chairman of Oxford Cannabinoid Technologies, thank you very much for your time.
Not at all, Mark. A real, real pleasure. And I hope we speak again. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.